Hello, and welcome to Along a River in the Wilds, a podcast looking at community initiatives, education, and healthcare in rural north central Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Rihanna Hibbler. Throughout the series, we sit down with local changemakers to discuss their work in the region in the hopes that we can better understand the complex challenges they face as well as the strengths of these small communities. Today's episode is the first in our next set of episodes covering local education. I spoke to Angela Harding with Keystone Central Foundation. She moved into the area in her early 20s, fell in love, and has truly dedicated herself to improving the lives of local residents. In exciting news, since our recording this summer, she has recently been elected as a Clinton County Commissioner, making her the first woman to sit on the Commissioner Board. The Keystone Central Foundation is a Pennsylvania 501c3 in support of the Keystone Central School District. This includes schools in Renova, Lock Haven, Woodward, Mill Hall, and Blanchard, which makes it one of the most spread out districts in the Commonwealth. Additionally, the two high schools are in Renova and Mill Hall, which makes coordinating resources a challenge given how far apart they are. KCF is comprised of a volunteer board of directors, many of whom are former educators, business leaders, and community professionals. The foundation board has several working committees: executive, teacher mini-grant, fundraising, personnel, scholarship and award, finance, and the Alumni Association. Although a larger focus of our conversation is given to the schools located in Lock Haven or Mill Hall area, I did attempt to incorporate Bucktail and Renova in the conversation to better understand how resources for the district are allocated to their students and programs as well. You can find more information about Keystone Central Foundation on their website, whose link I have included in the show notes. Now, onto the show. Yeah, so.
All right.
Just to start out, can you tell me a little bit about yourself, where you're from, how you ended up staying here? You
know? Okay, sure. My name is Angela Harding, and I moved to Clinton County, Pennsylvania in 1992.
Okay.
I have been here ever since. I grew up in a farming community in Ohio.
Okay.
I left high school, and was going to be playing basketball at a college in Pennsylvania called Waynesburg.
Okay.
I met, my son's father, who was from here, and decided that, I was going to move here with him.
Yeah.
So in 1992, I moved here, had my son Vaughn in 1994. And so in the meantime, attended Lock Haven University. I worked 8 years in media at 92.1 The Mountain and WBPZ in the Record newspaper. I then accepted the position of the executive director of the Clinton County United Way. I believe that was 2010 or 2011. I was there for, just under 5 years. And then they created a new position at Keystone Central School District, community relations, public relations, and then a liaison for the Keystone Central Foundation.
Okay.
And so I applied for that position and then accepted that position in 2015.
Okay. So 4 years since then, how has work been with that?
With the foundation?
Yeah, with the foundation. And yeah.
It's been a building process. Up until that point, the Keystone Central Foundation was basically ran by the board of director volunteers. And so the programming and the projects and the different things that they were trying to institute, were handled by professionals and retirees in the community who wanted to help support the school district, but we're on limited time as well because they had lives and things that they were trying to accomplish. So I think as far as answering your question, having someone focusing specifically on the foundation has given the opportunity for the foundation to have more of a footing in the community and in the school district.
Okay. Just generally, can you tell me a little bit about KCF? Kind of what its history was, what its goals are.
Sure. And so the Keystone Central Foundation was created in the 70s.
Okay.
And it started out as a scholarship organization, whereas folks in the community could contribute and create awards to help graduating seniors from the local schools proceed on to higher education.
Yeah.
from what I understand, and so I'm not an expert in this area, but it went through a slight lull, whereas it wasn't necessarily defunct, but wasn't really doing much more than that and wasn't trying to grow. It was just kind of like maintaining, if you will. And so it was approximately the mid-90s, when folks started to take notice that the foundation kind of needed to rejuvenate. And so a group of people got together, and by the late 90s, the Keystone Central Foundation kind of got a reboot, and they are a 501c3, according to the state of Pennsylvania. And their mission and their goal is to be a charitable organization that supports Keystone Central School District by giving the faculty and the students the opportunity to have educational experiences that today's education budgets cannot necessarily support with public school funding. They are comprised by a volunteer board of directors, all of whom are committed to education. And so they've expanded on that scholarship premise that the foundation was originally developed on to be able to provide other opportunities and projects.
What types of other projects?
So what I consider to be one of the most successful and one of the projects that I, the most fun implementing, is the teacher mini grant program.
Okay.
And the teacher mini grant program takes contributions to the foundation and in turn converts them into mini grants for faculty and staff in Keystone Central. The maximum award is $1,500 per grant. And so a lot of times faculty members want to take their kids on a trip to kind of pair up with the curriculum that they're teaching in the classroom.
Yeah.
And whereas, you know, school budgets used to allow for those types of things, they're not there right now.
Yeah.
And so the foundation can award up to $1,500. And we have some faculty who request the maximum amount of $1,500 and oftentimes will pair that up with another grant or another funding source. And then we have some faculty who only need maybe $800 or $900. We had one this year as an example of a wetlands study. And so at Central Mountain High School, there's a wetlands. And the science teacher wanted to get some materials and equipment that she could take her classroom down to the wetlands to perform science experiments. And so we were able to fund that project, and then she'll have those materials now
For continuing
classes. Continuing classes.
Yeah, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. How do you feel the divide, or is there a divide between Bucktail and Central Mountain with how the district is spread out?
That's a really good question, and one that I will ease into. Because I think that there's been so much controversy over the years in our community about consolidation, and I know, and I think that it's safe to say that oftentimes the faculty, the students, and the community of Renovo feel as though they do not receive as much as the students in the lower part of the county do at the Central Mountain schools. And I think in some ways that's warranted. But at the same time, I think when you look at it from a per ratio, you know, you've got to take that into consideration. I will say that the Keystone Central Foundation is very cognizant of making sure that we provide Bucktail with a generous amount of funding for their projects, and a lot of times it comes down to the applications. You know, if we receive applications for the grant funding from Bucktail, they're taken just as seriously as any applications that are requested, you know, at the Central Mountain schools. I, through the foundation specifically, have never been faced with a situation where Bucktail felt like they didn't get something that they wanted. So we've been able to fund a lot of projects. Most recently, we bought the, I think it's the equivalent of home ec class. Whitney Heil teaches it, and she has real babies. And the real babies are quite expensive. They're like $1,600. And so we were able to purchase Bucktail High School a real baby To sort of upgrade, because she had had some older ones and needed a new one. So we really try to incorporate as much funding as we can to Renova based on their applications. And a lot of times, and this happens at Central Mountain Schools also, the foundation committee that does the teacher mini grants may, you know, we're looking at a budget. And so we may not be able to fund something in its entirety. But if the school or the PTO or another group can help supplement that funding, that we can provide. So we try to work with those sources as well to make sure that we're helping as many students in the district as we can.
Yeah. Do you know of any goals that are coming up that KCF is hoping to achieve, whether it's expansion or specific projects or partnerships?
Yeah. So we are starting a grassroots effort. It's actually been in the making for about 6 months now, of creating a Keystone Central Alumni Association.
Okay.
And so the Alumni Association would be its own entity, but be umbrellaed by the foundation.
Yeah.
And so we started an online, you know, kind of a sign up to become a member. And we're going to try to build that organization, whereas we can identify a handful or a half a dozen or so individuals who kind of want to take the reins on that alumni association, have their own fundraisers and do things in the community to support all of the schools, you know, and bring alumni back to the community and kind of create a sense of pride about being a graduate of a Keystone Central school, whether that be Bucktail, Bend, Lock Haven, Sugar Valley, however that looks, they all still fall under Keystone Central. And so that is a really, really big project. It's a really exciting project, and it has the ability to turn into something really big. But it takes a lot of work. And so as kind of a lure, if you will, the foundation approved, it's $25, $20 or $25. Oh, actually I have it here. It is $20 for a year membership. And so to encourage folks to join the alumni and friends association, that $20, each new member will receive a $5 off card for an event at any of the schools, whether they want to go to a sporting event, a play, anything like that that charges an admission fee. This card would be good for $5 off whatever that fee is. So it's kind of twofold, you know, appreciating membership, but then also the whole purpose is to get the alumni to come back to their schools and support the kids that are there now. So that's one really cool thing I think that's happening.
You're drawing in more the like K through fifth, I guess, group too with this. How do you feel the like support goes as far as age? Because you've mentioned like scholarships and more like high school level projects. Right. How is it with the younger kids coming up to build a good foundation?
That's a good question. I think we certainly get a lot of mini grant requests from elementary school teachers. I think the one difference from K through 5 versus 6 through 12 is that at K through 5 they still have PTOs and they still have a ton of parental involvement. And so, you know, parents with kids K through 5 are either involved in the PTO or they're involved in that child's education a little more so than 6 through 12. And I don't say that disrespectfully to parents. It's just kind of the natural growth in students and parents and that whole dynamic of what happens once they get to middle school. So I think that you bring up a good point, though, in the sense that, you know, the kids that are in elementary school now, their parents graduated from Central Mountain. You know, so that whole controversial consolidation of schools is really going to change moving forward in the future, because at some point, and whether or not I'm here to see it, talking about Bend and Lock Haven and consolidation and Sugar Valley and all those things will become grandparents and great-grandparents conversations, yeah. You know, and so it's the natural course of history is going to take hold. Yeah. And at some point, everyone's going to be a Central Mountain or a Bucktail graduate. It's not going to be the different entities anymore. So I think that, you know, just continuing to bring awareness, I think a lot of the PTOs in the community with the different elementary schools are aware of the foundation.
Okay.
And just making sure that they know what we do and what our mission is and how we can help them and how they can help us and keeping those partnerships active.
Yeah, that's really great. How do you engage that, like, community into the foundation's work, and how is communication between others and the group?
So engaging the community, we have one big fundraiser a year. It's a golf tournament.
Okay.
Aside from that, we a lot of press releases about the things that we're doing in our schools and how that funding came to be. You know, communicating with the faculty and staff within the buildings a lot, you know, the applications are available, you know, don't forget we have this funding.
Yeah.
Starting this past school year, so August of 2018, Karen Brandt had been the president of the Keystone Central Foundation for many years. And she, you know, there comes a point where you can't keep going. And so, unfortunately, she decided to step down as president. And fortunately, we had Dina Hill, who stepped up to be president.
Okay.
With the new presidency came some new ideas. And so one of the ideas was to have a welcome table at the first day of school for the faculty. So that first day of in-service.
Yeah.
And so the foundation set up tables. We had coffee, a coffee table where they could get coffee their first day back. Yeah. And then we had some basket raffles set up. And we do what's called a payroll deduction for faculty and staff at Keystone Central.
Okay.
And so what we did was, if a faculty member donated at least $1 per pay, which was $26 a year, they could enter to win one of the baskets. And the baskets were all back to school supplies and things like that for classrooms and kids. And the teachers could do whatever they want with them, whether it's prizes for students or use them themselves or whatever they need. So I think just that continual trying to give back and showing appreciation for the faculty and staff in the district. And then as far as the community, you know, just press releases and trying to keep out in the community what it is that we do and how, you know, people can help us. Is a pretty big deal. But, you know, like anything, it just takes time. And there are still people that say, oh, I didn't know there was a Keystone Central Foundation, you know. So you just got to keep doing what you're doing and try to do it better each time and hope that the word gets out that you exist.
You know? Yeah. What you were saying of it being just $26 a year, I feel like that goes along with a lot of the stuff that I'm reading about, like community building initiatives and stuff like that, where it's just like a bunch of smaller donations is really what can change things. And then you don't have as much of an issue of like one person's interest in something happening either, or like the conflict of, like, if you had a $2,000
partiality, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Donor
and we
versus,
and we do have some of those large donors too. They're typically for the awards, because we still maintain those senior awards. So a lot of those bequests and estates and things like that that come in, or memorial awards.
Yeah.
We still have the larger donors for that aspect of the foundation. But the mini grants and special projects and some of these things that we're trying to do more in the classrooms, that comes from the small. And people are surprised, and I learned that at the United Way, how quickly those $26 donations add up. I mean, it's really remarkable. And so a lot of times you're thinking, like, it's dollar a pay. You know, no one's really missing that.
Yeah.
You know? but it's amazing to me to see the generosity. You know, faculty who don't apply for the grants, but they're still giving to the grants because they know how it's going to impact the students in our district.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, everything's connected, especially in a community this small. So,
true.
You know, if you help students, you're helping future employers, you're helping
everybody.
What would you say are the biggest strengths of our region, and how do you harness them?
Oh, wow. Well, I've been using these terms in other areas of my life, but I think that they are applicable here. And I think our biggest strengths is our space, where we are at in the world. It's beyond beautiful. And then secondary to that is our people, and how much they care about our community, and how much they want to see our community be successful and maintain the beauty of it. How do I harness that? How does the foundation harness that? I think, is just keeping your sights set on the goal and keeping your sights set on what it is your mission is and what you're trying to accomplish, whether it's short term or long term, and not deferring from that. Mm-hmm. And then constantly being out in the community. And when you see people, you know, hey, did you know about the foundation? Hey, we're having a golf tournament. Hey, the Alumni Association. And so not only the board of directors, but the faculty and staff and the administration and all of these different folks who in some way are tied into the foundation, whatever way that is, you know, and reminding them to constantly be encouraging people to, if it's not support, but just spread the message.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of on the flip side, what challenges do you see facing?
One of the challenges I see facing the foundation comes back to that public school funding in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And so the needs within the school district continue to increase because the funding's not there. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, we live in a rural district, and I'm sure you've done your homework, you know, economically. We struggle.
Yeah.
And the education level of the folks in our community. And so I think one of the challenges is, you know, how does the foundation continue to increase their budget and their bottom line to be able to support the school district and the students in it at a time when, you know, your back's against a wall and the need's growing. And so you've got to figure out a way to increase what you're doing. And that's kind of where that Alumni Association is going to come in too, because that gives the opportunity to provide outreach beyond the scope of Clinton County. You know, we have alumni all over the world. And so if we can show them the good work that the foundation's doing and the impact that it's having locally on students that were in the same place they were at, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, I think that Alumni Association is really going to have a huge impact on that. The other, and I'll just be completely frank and honest, and it's not a secret to anyone, the other challenge is overcoming that consolidation, overcoming that I'm from Ben, I'm from Lock Haven, they never should have consolidated, they never should have done this, and trying to minimize that animosity about that process and the fact that that happened, and because it happened.
Yeah.
And now we've got 4,000 students that we're trying to educate who don't know that that happened. You know, they don't understand why it happened, who happened, none of that. And so slowly but surely, I think that, and we talked about that a little bit earlier, that will phase itself out, I think. Yeah. The other challenge is in getting support for the school district. And I think that, you know, we have a new superintendent. She's got a fire under her, and she's working really hard to turn things around. I think that, and when I say turn things around, you know, just reputation-wise.
Yeah.
You know, our test scores and different things. It's no insult to the faculty, the former administration, or anyone in particular.
Yeah.
I think that it's peaks and valleys. I think that, you know, it takes a lot of people all being on the same page and working for the same thing to stay at that high level.
Yeah.
And so I think with the superintendent and administration and the school board, and then, you know, rallying everyone around that. So I think in some ways the reputation of the school district for whatever variable that is.
Yeah.
But I've said this before, and I will continue to say it till November and beyond. the success of our community and the success of our school district are conducive of one another.
Yeah.
And so we need folks to move to Clinton County and bring their businesses to Clinton County. they look at a school district. You know, what kind of education would my kids be receiving? What kind of education would my employees' kids be receiving? And vice versa. Mm-hmm. You know, so everybody being on the same page, and that's happening. It's a challenge, but it's not a challenge that isn't being remedied or that isn't being looked at and isn't being worked towards. So,
yeah. How do you feel with the consolidation and just like the way that the different school, I saw like the readout of attendance and just from my mom worked with low literacy, low income families years and years ago and has worked at the women's shelter and like a few different community things. And there are neighborhood differences within Lock Haven, and Lock Haven is ranked number 2 in the state for poverty. It's like 40% poverty level. The neighborhood breakdown matters a lot, but then when they get to middle school and high school, they're being consolidated. So I guess I'm just wondering more as like a parent and member of the community, like how you see different outreach member or outreach initiatives on community level stuff to address probably the more like socioeconomic backgrounds that are leading to differences in attendance and educational attainment and all of that stuff.
So I'll start with the Lock Haven being number 2 on the poverty scale in Pennsylvania, because I think what's unfair about that report is that they are including the university students.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so obviously we are so lucky to have Lock Haven University here. However, when you're looking at your population and your economics, I do find it slightly unfair that you're including thousands of people who are here to go to school and not really vested in the community.
Yeah.
And I say that with all due respect.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's that. When I started at Keystone Central School District, I was one of a few people who started a committee called Keystone Cares. It's actually hashtag Keystone Cares. And Keystone Cares is a group of people, including children and youth, probation, nonprofits in the community, the court systems, the district attorney, and the school district. And Keystone Cares was developed to make education a priority, which is also something that the foundation talks about a lot. That's just one way of taking some of our economically struggling families and pulling them into education, pulling them into things that are happening within our schools. We have free events and things like that that families come to, and the court system actually can use it when there's problems with any kind of parenting or things like that. And so I think that as far as that transition from the elementary into the middle school, you know, Keystone Central School District isn't the most diverse population when it comes to race, but it is diverse when it comes to economic standing.
Yeah.
And so I think you know, getting that transition to middle school, I think a lot of things happen, but I think most important is that kids that may come from a certain segment of the community are introduced to other kids in the community who have the same obstacles.
Yeah.
And so they're able to, you know, kind of connect that way. I think that there are progressive movements and projects happening, because at the end of the day, the most important thing we need to stress is education and how important it is to be educated. And what I mean by that is obtaining that high school diploma. Mm-hmm. And if beyond that point, a student that graduates from Keystone Central wants to go out into the workforce, then that's awesome. If a student wants to go to college, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and so we need to make sure that we're instilling in these kids from K all the way through 12 that high school education is so important. And what you do beyond that is just as important, and that getting a job or going to a trade school or going to a college are all equally beneficial to our community and to society. And I'm sure you've, you know, heard about, you know, for so many years it was everybody has to go to college.
Yeah.
And that's not true. You know, it's just not true.
Yeah.
And so we need to celebrate the workforce, and we need to get more invested. And I'm sure Jackie will talk about, hopefully she will, and maybe this will intrigue you with some questions, talk about, you know, on Senior Awards Night, one of the things that we tried to do was we had a program when I was at the district where we helped 12th grade students at Bucktail and Central Mountain obtain jobs at First Quality. And so blending that into Senior Awards, because this group of kids is going off to school. This group of kids is graduating. They're going to go over there and they're going to work.
And they're not going into debt.
Well, there's that too. But celebrating that. Because we are in a rural district and we are a manufacturing community. And so we've got to embrace that, and we've got to find ways that from starting in kindergarten, and she'll probably talk about the 339 plan and career readiness. And I mean, there's so many things going on a state level. Whereas, you know, guidance counselors and teachers and students are all going to kind of start being monitored on getting ready for career. And that's going to start as young as kindergarten. And how does the foundation play a role in that? I'm not 100% sure right now. I think it's going to be based on what those needs are. Do we need to send this third grade class to the landfill so that they can see what kind of jobs they have there and what they do there every day? Then maybe that's how we were able to supplement this direction that we're going in. You know, I mean, the future's yet to be written, but I think the foundation and the alumni can play a very strong role in that.
With new jobs coming in, UPMC and Geisinger, how do you see those industries' growth affecting the district?
It's already affecting Lock Haven University, as you may or may not know.
They got the nursing program.
They'll keep their Clearfield program, and now they're bringing the program here, which is amazingly awesome. We have a health occupations classroom, a CTC class at Keystone Central. I know that the career and technology director Kurt Lynch has already made some inroads with UPMC and Geisinger to talk about the health occupations class, and Keystone Central, and again, I don't want to take away from Jackie's steam, but maybe this will help you later when you talk to her to talk about it. But the diversified occupations and cooperative education. And so it'll definitely, with Geisinger and UPMC building and growing, that's going to give our students who are interested in health careers the opportunity to get out of the classroom and get into those facilities to learn more hands-on stuff. And that is, that's across the board. That's not just for healthcare. That, you know, could be for manufacturing or engineering or whatever that looks like, getting our kids out into the class, getting them out of the classroom and getting that firsthand look at what's going on. And it helps them decide too, like, oh, maybe I don't want to do this, you know? So it's kind of like that preempt to maybe not, you know, and then they can decide earlier rather than going to school and changing their degree seven times. But I mean, I love this community, and I've done a lot here. I hopefully would be able to do a lot more. We'll see, I guess.
That's exciting. Well, that's thank you all so the questions much. That I have hope for I you, but yeah. Answered them.
And this concludes our conversation with Angela Harding of Keystone Central Foundation. If you would like to get involved, Alumni and Friends Association is currently the largest movement, and the foundation is likewise looking for leadership. You can find more information on their website. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please subscribe for future episodes and find us on Facebook at Along River in the Wilds or on Instagram at River in the Wilds. Feel free to message us any questions or comments. Stay tuned for our next episode with Jackie Martin, the superintendent of Keystone Central School District. For more information like this, Check out Rural Matters, The Homecomers, or any of the Strongtown Network shows, including Strongtown's It's the Little Things or Upzoned. I would like to thank the Jefferson Humanities Department and Scholarly Inquiry Tract, including Megan Voller, for supporting this work creatively, as well as my advisors, Dr. Rabinowitz and Dr. Motley. All views expressed in the show are my own and do not represent my university or any other organization.